All right. Well, we're only a few of us here, so we're gonna go ahead and start anyways. And they can come in late or get over it, right? Watch it online. They're just gonna miss out.
Much better live.
It is much better live, isn't it? But yeah, we don't get the questions. We tried passing around the phone for a minute, and that just didn't work. No, I sure don't. Now, we do have a discussion group on the app that is starting up so that people, you can go to the app. I've started that up. If you're in the Laughlin Church app, and you go to, and I wish I could put this up on the screen. There's like up in the corner here, the right-hand corner, there's like little, looks like text box. There's a communication boxes, or it looks like, you know, a comic book says, you know, come up in a little idea bubble or whatever. You click on that, and it takes you to the messaging. And when you're in the messaging, if it ever comes up, if you look at, there's several groups there. There's a men's ministry group there. There's a Tuesday night youth group has one. Digital Hikers has one, even though they don't use theirs. But there is a Tuesday night one available in the Discovery. It should be in the Discovery. And you got to go and add yourself to that. Join group. There you go. And from there, you can see any discussions. There's a place for prayer in there, prayer requests, and other text board. You can direct DM someone from there. So there's lots of things, and they're adding more features to this as well. They've got things like polls on there, stuff like that they're working on. But they're also adding things like events and other things like that that are going to be coming into the DMs as well. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, we'll be able to talk and discuss and have prayer group. If you have any questions. For those of you who are just coming in, we're discussing that on the Laughlin Church app, there's a group that you can join. It's called Tuesday Night Gatherings. To join and ask questions and whatnot during the week, and prayer request page and all that stuff, and it's all on the app.
There is a note section, is there? Yes,
there is. So, and of course, I do recommend the app for everyone that follows along with me, because I do put in the fill in the notes section. If you go to the app and just click on fill in the notes, Tuesday night gathering, you can see the notes for tonight in that section, and it will have a place to, like, you'll see some of the slides that I'm having tonight in there. And of course, you can blow them up so you can get a nice clear view of it. Some maps in there, places for to make your own notes, bibliography if you're that person. I'm a bibliography person. I always want to know where people get their information from. So that's all in there. There's also a Bible study that goes along with this for the next 3 or 4 days. I usually make it 3 or 4 days. That just kind of helps repeat some of the information we're learning tonight, and some of the Hebrew or Greek and all that. And that's all in the app, the Laughlin Church app. So I do recommend everyone go to that. Yes.
It's in your
Play Store. Or if you use, if you're Android, it's called Play Store. If you're iPhone, it's called what? App Store?
App Store.
App Store. And yeah, you just go to Laughlin Church, and it'll have our logo on it. Our logo on it is blue and gold, and we'll say ALCC on it, and so I do recommend people go there. That's where we got, like, we have our group discussions that were gone there, and of course the notes are on there as well, so it'll help you follow along with all this. Because I understand that some of the stuff we're talking about took me years to learn, you know, and I'm still learning, but I'm not teaching you guys at a introductory level. I'm doing this like you guys are almost college class, so just under where I would be at a college level. So if we want to go full on college, we can, but you guys owe me a paper, so. it's right there. So we've been I am teaching it up there. So we're going through. So, and I know that it's a lot. So following along with the notes, having extra notes in there help you see what's going on. I do not put the transcripts up there because I don't have my transcripts on there. I kind of know what I'm going to say, and I have kind of notes on here, and then I just kind of go from there. But that's where we're at. So, all right. Well, today we are, well, let's start with a word of prayer. We haven't done that yet, have we? Let's do that first. Father God, Lord, we praise you today, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful blessing and just gifting us with your Spirit, Lord. We pray that you just bring us into your word and your with wisdom as we seek your wisdom. Lord, I pray that we just continue to fall in love with your scriptures and what you have to say in truth and in spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are in chapter 13 today. Now, here's a little map of the section we're in. And of course, you can get a closer view of this on the app. Yes, we're going to be in chapter 13 today. Now, remember where we've gone. We had a little Avram called out of Babylon. His father and him went up to halfway, right? And then they waited, and his father died, and then Avram and his nephew Lot, they left there. They did this because they went out of Babylon, they went out of the oven of Babylon, and they go into the promised land, and they're arriving at high places in Canaan, and they're doing this like little God tour, right? They're going through and making altars and praising God, and they're doing throughout the land. They're having all this just really uplifting, worshiping God at sacred places and meeting with Him. But then they go through a sense of trial, they go down into Egypt, and Avram, he behaves like the snake. He's cunning and crafty, and he lies, and he gets wealthy off of this. We discussed the week before. Growing up, I always felt like, he's blessed by this. He gets all this stuff for us, so is lying okay? but we're going to see the spoils that he gets from this war, all the stuff he gets from this lie actually comes to ill gains. It actually divides. But he has this failure of, and we're following a pattern that has been laid out. In the first 11 books, chapters of the Bible, we're following kind of there. It's in a different place. Dennis, I think I forgot to unlock that door. Thank you. So, so Avram, he goes into Egypt and he has this crafty idea that he's going to tell his wife, hey, you're beautiful, and they're going to be attracted to you, and they're going to try to kill me because you're beautiful. So let's say you're I'm your brother, and therefore they have to come ask me to marry you, and we can get some money out of it, and then we could turn them down, except there's a problem with it. The Pharaoh asks, and he doesn't so much as ask as he takes, because that's what Pharaohs do. They don't ask, they take. And so Pharaoh takes, and stuff happens, and the Pharaoh finds out that he's married, you know, and he's like, why didn't you tell me? And all this bad stuff happening now, and he kicks him out, and says, you get out of here, and he sends him away with sheep and oxen and donkeys and male servants and female servants and slaves, female slaves. Think about the livestock that are going to play a role in today's story. He gets it today. They're going to cause some problems. Separation of brothers. Hopefully I'm not giving away any spoilers. We've read the Bible. We've read this passage. And one of those female slaves in the Hebrew, her name is the immigrant, Hagar. Means the immigrant. And she's going to play a major role. She's picked up, given, right here from Egypt, when he's kicked out of Egypt. And that's going to play a role in this. So this ill-gotten gain is going to have like a major part to play in the stories that are coming up. It doesn't bring him good. It only hurts himself and other people. We're wrestling with, even when one gains wealth through receiving, when one receives wealth through the trusting in God, it's very blessed. But now we're receiving get wealth through schemes and plans, and it's going to play a big role in this. So that's where we're at in the story, right? Avram has behaved like the snake. He's been the crafty one. Pharaoh saw and took. Sarai. Remember Sarai, my princess. She's like the tree. She's like the fruit of the garden. So it's matching. It's different, but it's matching along with a story we've already heard. Just chapter 3. And we're going to continue in on that theme today. Is it's going to continue on with the story that's going to match up with other stories we've already read. Just a pattern that we've seen already. Scriptures do this a lot. They have patterns that we see, like, hey, that sounds familiar. Didn't that already happen? It's the repetition. There's always this coming, the story repeats itself. As we see the separation and the going through, the going in, the going out, and the so that's where we're at. So Genesis chapter 13. Let's flip over to Genesis chapter 13. I have a bit up. We're going to read the first four verses a bit, then we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to keep going. Sound good? All right. Avram went up from Egypt to the Negev. He, his wife, and all that he had, Lot with him. Avram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. He went by stages from the Negev to Bethel, to the place between Bethel, to Ai, where his tent had formerly been, to the site where he had built the altar, and Avram called on the name of Yahweh there. So he went up out of Egypt. They had gone down to Egypt. Now they're going up out of Egypt. Now, if you look on your map, and you know what? Actually, I have a map somewhere on here. It's in the app, I know, and it's probably, I know I have a slide of it here. I have to just get to it. Where is it at? I know I have one, or I had one. Anyways, if you look on a map, it's not coming up. It's on your site. Yeah, it's okay. So I didn't put it on here, but it's in the app. I think it's on there somewhere. Anyways, so you get to the, if you look on a map, you know, like our maps are directional to what? What's up? North, right? And down is south. So you look on our map, it makes sense. They went up to, and they went down to. Makes perfect sense. Except that's not how an ancient Israelite map would have been facing. Their directional would have been facing, the up would have been to the east on a map. East was the primary direction of sun. So their map would have been facing the east. So if you're looking at their map, it wouldn't have been they're heading up to. Here it's not about direction. Down is the direction of destruction and death. Up is the destruction of life. And so when they go down to something, they're heading to destruction and death. And when you go up to something, you're heading towards life. Now, on our map, we miss that because, well, yeah, it makes perfect sense. You're looking at the map and you go up and then you go down in there. But they would have been thinking more about a metaphorical direction. We're heading up and down, and there's life. The high parts we're going to see in a little bit. High point is Lot is going to go down to Sodom. He's going to go down to Sodom. And even though if you look at a map, it makes sense. He goes into the valley where Sodom is. There is a geographical element to that, but that's not really what it's about. He's going the direction of death, and Lot is high on the mountain where the life is at. So it is, I mean, it does make sense, but the Bible is geographical, but it's not just about the geography. It has a lot more, so it plays off of both ideas happening at the same time. So he said, they were down in Egypt, now they go up. And he took all of their stuff with him, his wife and all the stuff. And, oh yeah, don't forget about Lot, because he was in the last story too, but we never heard about him in the last story. All the time they're in Egypt, we're like, Lot, who's Lot? But here he is. Don't forget, he's there. He's in the foreground here. They went to the Negev. Now, Negev in the Hebrew is a word that means desert and south in Hebrew. Because if you're in the promised land, the desert is to the south. So it means both, south and desert. And so there are different points in the scriptures you'll see reference. I like it when the Bible leaves it alone and just calls it Negev. Because it could mean both, some often does. Jesus goes into the desert. He's going in the southern part of, like in wandering, as in the Exodus story. He's playing out an element of the Exodus story right there, as he's claiming part of that. But this Negev, it's the southern boundaries of the promised land. where was I? He went up, he had a wife, and he was very, the word there, very rich, we call it very rich. The word in the Hebrew there is very heavy, kavod, very heavy, which could refer in the scriptures to someone's weight, and does at times, but a lot of times it refers to your wealth or your status. It can also refer to the glory. How much presence or that someone has. God is referred to as having a heavy glory, as it's a big glory. It's very weighty, and presence is, fills the temple. It's, but a lot of times in this case, the rich is a good word. I like the way they translate it as rich. But he's very heavy. He's got a lot of stuff, but also his presence has gone. He's gained some sort of notoriety and position of power as he's going up with this. But he's full of all that stuff. So he's loaded, and God had said that he was going to have a lot of stuff, he got it not the way God had wanted to give it to him. And so we're going to have some moral problems here. So he journeys from Negev back to Bethel. Now, Bethel means house of God. And it's going to be one of the most important places throughout your Bibles. So just remember that's a place they're always going back to. There's different temples built there. There's different events that happen there. Bethel is one of those places you're like, I know Bethel. It means house of God. But he had built a tent back at the first. And then they go to which is a heap of ruins, and a place where the altar was. So he's going back to the places he was worshiping God at. So he behaved badly, and now he's going back and worshiping God. I love the imagery here of Avram. It's so reflections, mirrors of ourselves, not models to follow. Sometimes we behave in our lives, we behave more like the snake. But God allows us to go through and forgives us and allows us to, and we go back and we can worship him. And sometimes in our lives, we're more focused on him. Like I said, my college professors always called it mirrors of reality, not models of mirrors of identity, not mirrors of morality. don't mirror them to pick out your morality, but they're mirrors of our identity. So they're going out and worshiping all these spots. He's loaded. Last time he didn't have anything. Now he's retracing his worship tour in reverse, going back to the beginning. Avram, no one in the scriptures always the bad guy, except maybe the devil, right? We can throw him in that one, people wise. The good guys are definitely not all good. I mean, let's think about, except for Jesus, right? We got people that are not all good, and the bad guys aren't all bad. They're heading back up, so it's almost like they're trying to recapture Eden, where things were good. So let's keep going. Verse 5. If you could read that, good for you. Keep your optometrist. If you can't, you've got a Bible of your own, I'm sure. If you don't, there's one in the app, so we provide that for you too. Now Lot, who was traveling with Avram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land was unable to support them. As long as they stayed together, they had many possessions and they could not stay together. And there were quarreling between the herdsmen of Avram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were living in the land. So Avram said to Lot, "Please let's not have quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, since we are relatives. Isn't the whole land before you? Separate from me. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked out and saw the entire plain of Jordan as far as Zoar was well watered, where everywhere like the Yahweh's garden. What's that? That's Eden, right? He was like looking out and says, "Oh, everything's like Eden, and the land of Egypt." This, I love these little. Some of the Bibles put little parentheses there. Some of them put brackets. Some of them put an underscore. Some of them just don't actually tell you what's going on there. But I know the one I have up there, they put it in like parentheses. These are like little dear reader moments. Hey, dear reader, you know, this is before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Just by the way, we already know it happened. Spoiler alert, right? Well, this is before this happened, dear reader, you know. So Lot chose the entire plain of Jordan for himself, and Lot journeyed eastward, and they separated from each other. All right, so let's go back and look at this. So Lot went with Avram, and I don't know if Lot picked up stuff while they were in Egypt or what. I don't know. But they've got a lot of stuff. Avram's got stuff, and Lot's got stuff. Now, Lot wasn't even supposed to be there according to God's original plan. Commandment, right? He said, leave your family behind. Leave the land and your extended family, the house of your father. So Lot really isn't supposed to be there. Now, you can make an argument that Lot's an orphan. You know, his dad died. And so, like, he could be like Lot's the adopted son, you know, but when they were in Haran, he could just left him with his father. Remember, he wasn't dead then. And he said, you move on. But he waited till the guy's dead before they move on. But Avram did as God commanded. And Lot went with him. So I don't know, this is going to come back and bite him here. You know, this Lot was there, and they have lots of tents, lots of people. And, you know, if you got lots of sheep, you got to have people to watch the sheep. You got to guard them at night. You know, because animals, it's not like today's society where you put them all pens and stuff like that. You know, we got wild animals they got to fight against, and they got bandits you got to protect them against, and you know, you got to have lots of people. So the land could not care for them. They were as long as they were together, they were going to lose everything, which is hard, right? As long as they're together as one, the two can't seem to come together as one. Now, there's a whole play on words there with the one and together and brother and there's a whole play on word on there. But if you're into the Hebrew, it's kind of fun. But they're not able to just come together. And so the So they multiplied like God had told them to do, but they multiplied in the wrong way. And so now it's causing not unity, but separation. And so there comes the dispute. The herdsmen and the, hey. Oh, yeah. And I love that there's that another one of those parentheses. I didn't point that one out there. Oh, yeah. By the way, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land at that time. Just FYI. That was just a, by the way, the Israelites hadn't taken over the land. These are the people that were living there at the time. Yeah. Very possibly, yeah. The land has already been dwelt in. They were there before him. So, moving on through. Well, yeah, and of course, some of that is, he's taking a tour of the promised land. Some of that is a prayer, like a worship tour. But he doesn't, you're right, he doesn't settle down. And of course, he's obviously got herds and sheep and stuff like that. So some of it is you just follow where the water and the grazing part is. People tend to move around, even if it's only in a little area. I know when I was living in Gallup, the Native Americans, the Navajo and the Zuni are there. So a lot of the older traditional Navajo, they lived in what's called a hogan, and it's a building, like a one-room building that, anyways. And they would have their summer spring hogan, and they would have their winter hogan because they had their sheep, and they would take them to wherever, to the different areas. And so you'd have your different hogan that you lived in depending on the time of year. So some of that is surely that kind of stuff is going on as well, that they have to move the flock around. But there are people already living there. So that's definitely going to be an issue, especially when he says, I'm going to give you this land. Well, I'm just one guy with a family, and we're going to find out he's got some fighting force behind that, those, his people. But not enough to conquer a land. but God's thinking bigger than I'm sure Abraham is. But it's a good question. So the Canaanites and Perizzites are dwelling in the land. We're going to need that information for later. So that's why we're told that information now. As you're reading through, you're like, why am I told this? I got to hang on to that information. It's going to come up later. So Abraham goes to Lot. Listen, I don't want there to be any dispute between us, between your shepherds, we're like brothers. Hakim, brothers. The first two letters of the word for one is the same. First two letters, the word for brothers. I play on words there. Anyways, so he says, listen, all the land is before you. We need to separate. You go to the left, that is to the north. I'm going to go to the right, that is the south, because remember, they're facing east. If you go to the right, that is south. I'll go to the left, which is north. And Lot lifts up his eyes, and he sees the Valley of Jordan, a land that Avram has showed no interest in up this point. They've never gone there. But it was an entire water land. It's a good-looking land. He says it's like what? The Garden of Eden. He said it's the Garden of Yahweh. It's like what he envisioned Eden is. That's how beautiful this land looks. It's also like Egypt, with how wealthy they got there. It's as far as you go, as far as you can see, it is a war. And so, yeah. So we see, and we see a. And so then they. He chooses that land, and they separate. And it's too bad they can't get along, but we know that these are, this is a pattern here. And as they separate, we're automatically, we should be reminded of another story in Genesis chapters 1 through 11. Remember, one brother kills another, and then they separate, and they go. Which direction does Cain go? East. Which way does they separate and he goes towards the city. Cain builds a city. He's going to a city. It's different, but it's the same kind of pattern that we've already seen. Goes towards Sodom and this is before Sodom was ruined. The word ruin, when we see that, not every time, but a lot of times, especially in Genesis, we're supposed to be reminded of the flood. In the flood narrative, that word ruin is the same, is used over and over and over and over again. And so when we see Sodom and Gomorrah had not been ruined, we're like, phew, wait, what's going to ruin it? If we're supposed to, there's a flood coming, just like the flood narrative we've already seen. So we're already given this fork of what's chapter 19 going to be, right? we're already going to be, that's where Sodom and Gomorrah starts getting destroyed. Anyways. That's, yeah. But they go, goes towards the city, just as Cain did, just like Nimrod did. Remember Nimrod? He was the one who built Babylon. So we're playing. So Genesis 13, we're replaying the separation of the brothers. And that leads to the city of blood, whose outcry rises up to God, and God is compelled to respond. And we know, and that's exactly how we know that Sodom and Gomorrah is going to play out between 18 and 19, but we're not there yet.
Don't we actually have two plots playing out here with the Canaanites and the Perizzites also living in the land?
Yeah, we also, we do have that. I'm going to come back to that in just a second, but that's very good. I'm glad you noticed that. We also have the fall narrative right there. Lot is not, Avram already had his, Avram was the snake in the last one. Now Lot is failing in this one. Remember, because he what does it say? He looks out and he sees something beautiful, and he takes the land for himself. That's the same vocabulary we saw back in Genesis chapter 3. So we're still seeing, that's Lot in his failing moment. And so we have this, so that's interesting. He looks out and he sees it's like Eden. But is it Eden? No, it's not Eden. How is anyone? This is a preaching moment right here. This is one of those moments that I have to think. And if I was in seminary, that'll preach, you know. How many times in our lives have we saw something and we thought it was Eden? But then we get into it, and it's a false Eden. I mean, it could be a job. I remember one time thinking, oh, this is God's gift. This job was God's gift. I get into it, and I ended up leaving it 2 weeks later. You know, this is not what I signed up for, a false Eden. Or something that leads to, or sometimes it takes even longer. You get into it and you're like, this is not what I thought it was. And it's a false. Fooled. And sometimes we're fooled into false Edens. And there's something there that is reflecting into our life as Lot is fooled and he looks out and he sees, oh, it's like Eden. Now we know in a few chapters, it ain't no Eden. But it's a false Eden. And so yeah, there's a whole sermon right there, right? That'll preach. Yeah, we'll get into that when we get there. But yes, he was sitting at the gates, which means he's probably a judge, had a position of authority there. I already talked about that, so let's keep going. Yeah, so we see the separation. The rival brother motif. Cain and Abel. I love that story in Cain and Abel, right? Isn't there exaltation if you do right? And of course, Cain, you know, does exactly the opposite of right. And kills his brother, and then, you know, there's, you know. But, you know, throughout the rest, I mean, we're going to see this motif a lot, aren't we? I mean, who can name another where this rival sibling thing happens? Joseph, right? That's right. Joseph and his brothers. Jacob and Esau. There you go. There's another one. How about Rachel and Leah? They're sisters. There's a sibling. It's not brothers, but it's played out differently. But it's the same kind of attitude. We could say that. I don't know if we would go there with that, but it is definitely because it's more of a father-son separation. And it's also, of course, were they actually like brothers, like raised up in the same place? That is something we'll have to discuss. As we look into Exodus, some people say, oh, he was a prince of Egypt. There's a whole cartoon over that, right? Is he a prince of Egypt? Would he have been treated as a prince of Egypt, or would he just been taken in as one of the servants? It's an interesting discussion, and historians have argued about. But yes, we could put that one in that pile. They could. Moses and Aaron go through a little separation. But like I said, the Pharaoh and the Ramesses one is a very interesting one. Of course, we're not there, but there's a whole historical, like, argument between scholars as to how Moses would have been treated. It's a big thing. Really interesting one, in my opinion, too. Northern tribe and the southern tribe. Like, the tribes are going to fight. The whole five. That's like David and Jonathan. Sarah and Haggai. Rival wives. This is something the Bible's going to explore this condition where people can't get along and they separate from each other. And we can't share the blessing of God or blessings. We have to separate from each other. Which is going to be interesting, because what exactly does it say in the end? It's talking about where the like the lion and the sheep lay down together, or there's peace between people. And I mean, this is the exact opposite of this pattern, a restoration of this destructive pattern that we're seeing throughout this. But yeah, so we have this story that will be repeated over and over and over again. As we try to come together and share the blessings of Eden. All right, where are we at? What time is it? Ooh. I hate it when we run out of time like this. I'm not even halfway through what I wanted to talk about today. And we got 15 minutes, can we? All right, let's get into this one and we'll see where we get to, okay? God's second promise to Avram. That's 12 through 18. Avram settled in the land of Canaan while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against Yahweh. The Yahweh said to Avram, after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as dust to the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can be also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and he built an altar to the Lord. So, Avram, in comparison to Lot, who has gone down to Sodom, path of destruction, Avram has dwelt up in the land. Now it's up, right? It's the place of protection. It's the place of refuge. So you have a tent down low in the valley in Sodom, and you got tent up high in sacred trees. So Yahweh said to the men of the men of Sodom were all raw. That's what the word there is. They're all raw. They're all bad. They were katatim. It's actually one of the first words we have for sinners. It means, this particular one means to fail, as in moral failure. Moral feral. So they were moral failures very much, is how that actually reads there. Avram is above, and Lot is in the valley with the bad moral failing very much people. And so it becomes an image for good and bad, right? This, and Yahweh said to Avram after Lot separated him, please lift up your eyes. Remember, Lot lifted up his eyes, right? And he saw false Eden. But Avram is told by God, lift up your eyes. And so God lifted his eyes up, right? So there's a difference, right? Lot lifted up his eyes and saw him. And God lifted up his eyes, Avram's eyes, and said, look, you know, all around you, right? The four points in the compass. And I'm going to give you this land, your seed forever. And I'll make your seed like the dust. You can't count the dust on the seashore, and so you're not going to be able to count your generations. And walk along your length, walk along its width. Abraham, you know, and Abraham says this tip. And they went down to the sacred tree by the oaks of Mamre, which are near Hebron. In chapter 12, there were some oaks. Anyone know this one? Oaks of Yes, oaks of, the word in Hebrew is Morah. Morah, oaks of Morah. Which is the word for vision. Here he's at Mamre, which is, so they're in a different location. But there's drawing attention, and it's interesting, he's drawing attention, they're by the trees of Mamre. Not just by Hebron. He could have said, hey, they were by Hebron, right? But he's by the trees, which are by Hebron. There's a reason he's doing that. He's creating, kind of having this Eden beat, right? There's a garden in the there was a garden inside of Eden, inside of, there's a tree inside of the garden, inside of Eden. And so you have this kind of Eden beat coming back up there. We got a tent where there's an altar. And so it becomes a proto-temple tabernacle Eden imagery right here in this Oaks of Mamre. And so he's playing on this beat here that a lot of times we don't pick up. Because he could have just said, hey, they were by Hebron. And that's how we do, right? Like, if you're going up to Henderson, we don't say we're going up to Henderson. We're going to Vegas. Because it's good enough for everybody, right? You're heading that way. I'm not going to North Vegas, or I'm not going to... It's all just up there. Only people that are from there that get all, I'm not from Vegas. I'm from Henderson, It's like everyone who goes to L.A., It's just L.A., except if you're from there. And then you're like, no, I'm from, and that's different from LA because of, can you even tell me where the division line is? Yes, it's at this street. Can anyone else know that? No. From here, yeah. Because we might as well be a suburb. Yeah, so there's an imagery there that, and God has already said, hey, I'm going to give you the land and all your seed. And so we're having another kind of promise here. You messed up. You did the thing you weren't supposed to do. Now I'm going to reaffirm our promise that we're going to be as dust of the earth. Where else have we read dust in the Genesis so far? The beginning, right? Yep. We've had it two different places, right? We had they took him from the dust, and then the serpent is going to eat the dust. So dust has already played an important role, and now it's going to be another important role. Hey, all the dust. Formed them out of the dust, particles, and so they're going to be like all the seeds. And so this is a new humanity imagery. Out of dust you arise. And now, so I'm going to promise you, you're going to be just like all the dust. So there's a new Adam and Eve imagery here that's going to be playing on here. And it says, get up and walk about. The word here literally means to stroll. Word is loaded, right? God, when they heard God walking in the garden, they hid themselves. Enoch, he walked with God. Noah, he walked with God. There's a loaded word there. He says, get up and walk about. So it's this image of strolling with God and touring about the garden together, this promised land together. And we're going to be about this walking with God. And so he's finding favor with him. I'm going to skip some of this because we're out of time. So let's skip on. And so there's image here that they're walking about, and so that's definitely playing here as they do, and we know Sodom's going to be destroyed, and he says walk the length and the width, and what else have we heard? Length and width and depth and the ark, right? This tent, this tabernacle that at Hebron, near the trees of Hebron, this kind of like Eden motif, is like safety. It's going to be like a safe space from the flood of violence that's coming. And we're going to talk next week about some of the flood of violence that's coming, because there's flood of violence that comes before Sodom and Gomorrah gets destroyed. It's in the next chapter. But yeah, let's skip that. So we have this. So it's like a little ark, and there's if we go on. Here we go, right here. This comes later on. We'll talk about this next week. One of the survivors comes to the Oaks of Memory from Eshcol and Anar, and they're bound up. So these Canaanites and the Perizzites, these two people are from these people groups, the brother of Eshcol and Abner. These are from the Canaanites and Perizzites. So even those who are in the land who are not Abraham's family, that are residing with Abraham, are safe from the flood of violence. Safe in the ark, as it would be, or the tabernacle, as it would be. And the Amorites were. So this whole next chapter is going to be about violence and stuff like that. There is a chart. I know we're out of time. There's a chart in the app. I recommend going through it. There's kind of a... I got this from the Bible Project. Thank you, Tim. This shows Genesis 12 and 13 as a replay of Genesis 12 and 2 and through 6. And it kind of draws on comparisons of what is happening. And so you see the beats repeating themselves. Different ways, but the same kind of beats pattern repeating itself. So I do recommend looking at that in your notes, since we're going to have to, skip over it because we're out of time. All right, any questions? All right, so next week I might touch a little bit on some of the stuff I skipped over, but we're mostly going to go on to Genesis, to another flood of violence scene. It's where there's some men who, some coalition of kings come in and conquer some land, and Lot's caught up in it, and Avram, being the good uncle, comes in and saves his nephew, and so there's some things there. And we're going to meet an interesting character, though we probably won't get to him next week. Melchizedek is, I probably will spend, not get to him next week. We'll probably have to save him for the week after. Because he's going to take us a minute. Melchizedek's definitely going to take us a minute. But, all right, any questions? All right, well, let's go ahead and pray, and it is 7 o'clock, so we are done for the night. Father God, Lord, we praise you today, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful blessing, Lord. We pray that, Lord, we seek wisdom from you, that we not get fooled into false Edens. Seek wisdom from you, that you show us what is right and wrong, good and bad. We follow after your direction, your step, and we wait on your wisdom. As in Jesus' name we pray, amen.